Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Isaiah and Luke both raise the theme of calling. Isaiah tells us about his own call, dramatic, unmistakable. You couldn't miss it if it happened to you. Luke also makes Jesus' call to the disciples clear, dramatic. In fact, he wraps it around a miracle, a miraculous catch of fish after a night of catching next to nothing. Neither call story sounds like daily life as we know it. There are other call narratives in Scripture that are equally dramatic. Moses at the burning bush, the bush that is burning but is not consumed by the flame. Saul, who is literally blinded with a call to a transformed life and a new name as Paul. Theologically, the church has always been clear that every Christian is called. Everyone who is baptized is called by Jesus, called to follow Jesus. But the call narrative for each Christian is certainly not always so dramatic and clear. The prayer book spells out that the ministers of the church are laypeople, bishops, priests, and deacons. Page 855 in the catechism section at the back of the prayer book. We may not visit that section very much, but there's a section called the ministry. Who are the ministers of the church? The ministers of the church are laypeople, bishops, priests, deacons. Laypeople are first. They are the primary ministers of the church ahead of bishops. Baptism is the primary ordination to ministry, and without exception, meaning that if we are baptized, we have a ministry. Called by Jesus, but called to what? That is the question. In every generation, young people wonder, people of all faiths and none, what is my calling? What am I called to do in life? It is the central question of young adulthood. What is my calling? We have lots of examples in Scripture of different ways that people stumble upon, discover their calling. Simon Peter, Andrew, James, and John have different call narratives than Saul and Isaiah, Ezekiel, Moses. And sometimes, especially looking at these examples, these spectacular examples of the heroes of our faith, we could be forgiven for thinking that being called by Jesus is something separate from our everyday life or the world as we know it. Much more common, however, than these dramatic call narratives is that we follow Jesus through our daily work, that we follow Jesus through our daily life. The disciples' fishing skills are metaphorically useful, as Jesus says, now you're going to fish for people. But that is a dramatic change of life. And that is not typical. Usually Jesus finds us within our lives and the gifts we have. And the jobs we have are often our way to follow Jesus. If we find our calling, our purpose in life, we will find ways to follow Jesus within it. The disciples are found when they are just going about their daily life. They are fishing. That is the family business and their way of life. Like farming, really, it's more than a job. It's actually a way of life. The first pointer towards what we are called to do in life is that Jesus will find us, will come to us, whatever we are doing, just as he came to those disciples fishing. Retreats, vision quests, by whatever name, these are helpful, but Jesus can always find us wherever we are. Jesus finds us often through others, through the words of others, through word and sacraments, sometimes through revelation, the promptings of the Holy Spirit that we hear with our inner ears of faith as we study Scripture, as we pray, as we're simply taking a walk in the beauty of the creation that God has fashioned. For the disciples, their call is wrapped around this miracle of the huge catch of fish. And Simon Peter immediately recognizes that this catch of fish is not due to their own skill. He is filled with awe and a sense of his unworthiness. He realizes that the abundance is from beyond. Often in a call narrative in scripture, there is an impediment or objection presented by the person being called to the effect of, "I am not qualified." Moses says, you will remember, he's not a good public speaker. Isaiah says he's a man of unclean lips. Simon Peter says he is too sinful, too flawed to be worthy of this abundant gift. And he knows it's not just about a spectacular catch of fish. It's about the giver of the gift of abundance. And you will notice that Paul, in the reading that we heard from Corinthians, says, "I am the least of the apostles, unfit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted, as Saul, the church of God." Again, the impediment, the feeling that we are not up to this gift of grace. And what happens next in today's gospel story is very important for all of us. Jesus completely ignores Simon Peter's objection. He doesn't try to counter it. He just overlooks it. And so from this, as in all of the other call narratives in the Hebrew scriptures and in the New Testament, we learn that Jesus calls us based not on our potential or our merits or good behavior, good works, or even abilities, but as an act of love, a gift of grace. So Jesus calls us in and through what we are already about, and we follow Jesus through our daily lives. And the second pointer, I think, is that we keep on doing what is in front of us until we're called to do something else. That's another thing that I hear in this calling of the first disciples. They are fishing until they are called to go somewhere else. A calling is usually a sense of direction, an energy or an excitement around a purpose. But it's usually not specific about timing, location, or a particular job description. When Jesus calls the fishermen to fish for people, he doesn't open a scroll and say the dates, the times, the places that they will be sent to in the next few years. The most important quality in discovering the next chapter of our calling is being open to the Holy Spirit in our daily life. We're in the season of Epiphany, of opening our eyes. The word itself means revelation. We need to continually, I think, open ourselves to that, no matter how we experience our calling right now in our lives. We always need that disposition of open readiness. And in prayer today and in our private prayers throughout the week, we put ourselves at God's disposal so our inner ears, our eyes of faith, are ready to receive the promptings of the Holy Spirit. Third, it seems to me it's been my experience and my observation in seeing others come to discern their callings, lay and ordained. We know we found our calling by the joy that springs up in our hearts. I don't mean a superficial rush of happiness or excitement. I mean when your heart leaps up in readiness to meet the challenge ahead. When you know this is the time and the place, yes, now, go. The disciples must experience this as they leave their nets and follow Jesus. They're clear about that. They don't know the specifics, but that joy is theirs. When we find our compass in life, our direction, it can be sudden, it can be gradual, like finding our life partner. It can happen in so many ways, but it is confirmed by that steady joy. I think if there's one sign of God's presence, it is joy. Joy is the footprints of God in your life. Joy is a way that God confirms his presence in our lives. that deep joy that feels like life itself, that makes you want to show up physically and emotionally, even for the hardest bits, the challenges. It's worth doing because it's work that you want to do. Earlier, we noticed that Jesus called Simon Peter and the other fishermen, not based on their potential or merits or abilities, but as an act of love, a gift of grace that meets their readiness. It's the time and the place. They probably thought it was an ordinary day, an ordinary night of fishing. They did not know that that would be the day that would mark the crossroads in their lives. We are all called to fish for people, which simply means share with others what we have experienced in following Jesus. Any of us can do that. So often our own internal objection is, I'm not qualified, I don't have the words, I don't know, even know if what I've experienced is what you could call a faith journey. We don't have to have a theology degree, but we may think that somehow that is helpful. But apart from Jesus himself, you are the person who knows your experience of God best. You know how you have experienced God, and you are authorized. Your baptism empowers you. The Holy Spirit encourages you to share your faith. Faith is not a commodity. It certainly doesn't come packaged as a theology degree. I think it's more like a muscle that develops as we use it. Faith grows, I think, as we share it. I think the first time that I was invited to pray out loud leading a meeting or a group of some kind, I remember being terrified that I didn't have the words prepared. And I think what happens as we begin to walk in faith, as we're asked or invited to walk in faith, that muscle in us grows and we gain confidence, not in our ability, but in the capacity of God to supply the words and to give them wings, even when our words are stumbling or halting. That's the Holy Spirit's job. Like loaves and fishes, our faith never seems enough until we start to give it away. Typically, we're not very evangelistic in the Episcopal Church. We're not necessarily even comfortable with the language of fishing for people. But we are part of the Jesus movement. That's why we're here. And we will want others to share this anchor that saves and strengthens our lives. And we can hope that just by accident and divine providence, the Holy Spirit will send people here to hear the message. But what if the Holy Spirit plans to speak through you this week in the unique situations that Jesus will place you through the Holy Spirit, situations, groups, people that no one else in this congregation today will be present at? What if that is the Holy Spirit's plan? There's always a plan B, but what if you are plan A this week? In Luke, Jesus says to the disciples, from now on, you will be catching people. But in Matthew and Mark, Jesus is even more direct. In Matthew and Mark's account of this calling of the disciples, Jesus says, I will make you fish for people. I will make you fish for people. The disciples aren't invited to share their faith alone. Jesus does it through them. Faith is a journey, and Jesus is on the road with us. Do we trust the Holy Spirit? Have we ever tried it? Tried fishing for people? Tried opening our mouths in trust in the Holy Spirit? And that the words that we speak, if an opportunity arises, the words that we speak will find their spot in someone else's searching heart. This week, I invite you to try it and see. Keep it simple, keep it humble and not showy. Try sharing your faith in deed or in word this week or both, and see where it leads, or rather, see where Jesus leads. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.